Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Hi there, ladies and gents, and welcome to this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investment Podcast with me, your host, Frank Flegg. So we have covered this educational concept previously on the podcast, but it was quite a long time ago, and I recently presented it at an event, not a large event, 70 odd people, and it was a 3-day event. And what I realized was I kept coming back to it. Like I taught it on maybe the end of day one, and by the end of day three, I reckon I'd referred back to it at least 10 times. And what that made me realize was this is an educational concept that really impacts on me a lot. It really influences a lot of my decision making. So what's the educational concept? It's the competency consciousness matrix. And I learned this when I was doing my teacher training. And I have to admit, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I had an amazing PGCE teacher. Her name was Elaine Wilson in Homerton College in Cambridge, and she taught this concept, and I just wasn't ready for it. I remember thinking, well, that's not relevant. I just want to learn to be a secondary school science teacher. How naive was I? But that just the change in my attitude between then and now is unbelievable. And I use so much of what I learned then. So much. It's a matrix, which is basically just made up of a square, a big square, divided into four smaller squares. And then you've got two axes. So along the vertical axes at the side, you've got competency. So bottom left, or bottom rather, you've got incompetent. And at the top, you've got competent. And then along the horizontal axes, you've got consciousness. So to the left two squares, you've got unconscious, and to the right two squares you've got conscious, and that's it. And now you can label your four quadrants. So bottom left you've got unconsciously incompetent, and then to the right of that along the bottom you've got consciously incompetent, and then top right, and this is the order in which you move through these, top right you've got consciously competent, and top left you've got unconsciously competent. Now I just label these 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one is unconsciously incompetent. Number two is consciously incompetent, so you know you're rubbish. Painful, most painful place to be. Top right, you've got consciously competent, number three. And then number four is unconsciously competent, where you can do it in your sleep. And as a really quick recap, quadrant one is the two-year-old that doesn't know that they can't tie their shoelaces. It's the alcoholic that doesn't know that drinking every day is a problem. It's Ricky Gervais, David Brent from The Office, which is an English comedy sitcom about a manager in an office. He thinks he's amazing, but he's actually awful. That is all quadrant one. I remember asking my friend at university. He was a world-class rower. In fact, he'd been to the world championships for rowing. Well, he rowed for Cambridge, but he couldn't get in the first eight, but incredibly good rower. And I remember asking him, he was a fit lad. And I said, other than being really fit, and obviously he was like 6'4" or something. And I said, other than being really tall and really fit, surely it's not that hard, like not that technical to be a rower. Like rowing's not that technical. And he actually laughed at me, and he said, like, where do you want me to start, Frank? There is so much technique to rowing. And in that moment, and I obviously believed him, I realized my naivety. I didn't realize that there was so much to know about rowing, and I didn't know it. And in that moment, I moved from quadrant one to quadrant two. So quadrant two is you then realize what you don't know about something. And that's the four-year-old who suddenly realizes that everyone's got laces and that everyone can do their laces, but the four-year-old can't. It's the alcoholic who goes to Alcoholics Anonymous and says, hi, I'm Fred and I'm an alcoholic. It's the realization that there's a problem. It's the realization that you can't do something. It's the realization that you're rubbish at something. It's the most uncomfortable place to be on the matrix is quadrant two. Quadrant three is where you master the skills. So when I learned to skydive, I didn't know all of the emergency procedures before I did the accelerated freefall course. On the course, I realized, oh my goodness, there's a lot to this. I need to remember this and this and this and this. And that was quadrant two. And then quadrant three was when I was actually doing it. So when I was actually jumping out of planes and following the procedures, and I realized that if I really paid attention, I knew what to do. There was a guy there that I jumped with, actually, who'd done 18,000 jumps. Now, there is no way. There's one of these things where you have to check in to the hotel with one of your instructors, and then you check out with the instructor that's hanging on the side of the plane. And the way they taught me was, they said, well, you check into a hotel first, right? And then you check out of the hotel. So look in first into the plane at your instructor that's in the plane, and then you look out at the instructor that's outside the plane. And for me, that took me to consciously competent. I had to really think about that, and I could do it. Because, you know, the wind's hitting your face really quick and there's a lot of adrenaline. There's people waiting to jump out after you, etc. The guy that had done 18,000 jumps, there is no way he was going, right, do you check into a hotel first or do you check out first? He would have done it on autopilot. In fact, on the video after the jump that I did with him, he's giving my other instructor a fist bump behind my back. So I'm there in free fall and I'm focusing on stretching my knees and pointing my toes and checking my altimeter and looking at the horizon and all these things you're taught to do, and the two of them are fist bumping behind my back, you know, having a right good laugh. And the reason I've shared this educational concept, and I don't know where it came from other than my tutor Elaine, but I'm guessing she got it from somewhere, is I use this all the time. And I was listening to Alex Hormozy's podcast yesterday. I really like his approach. In 2 years, he's gone from 10,000 followers on social media to 5 million. Well, that's quite impressive. And he was talking about his most recent book, which I haven't bought and I haven't read, but I'm already really confident that it's excellent. I have read his first book. And he was talking about how he'd spent 6 hours a day from 6 a.m. to noon every day, 2 years, making this book as good as it could possibly be. And that just blew me away. He said he'd done four complete rewrites of the book. Four complete rewrites. That's unbelievable. And it made me realize that, and I think I'm quite a good writer. I enjoy writing my own copy. I feel like I'm a good writer. I have actually written a book, not published it, but I've written it, not finished it, if I'm honest. It probably needs a little bit more work. But now I'm thinking it needs a lot more work. And what it made me realize, just listening to him talk about his process for writing, is I thought I knew what it took to write a book. And I've been talking with a friend recently about finishing my book and publishing it, because I think there's a place in the market for sophisticated property investing. There's a lot of entry-level property investment books, but I think there's a place in the market for sophisticated investment. No money down, no money left in, below market value investing, etc. And it made me realize how much there is to know about writing a book. And I'm constantly aware now of, what do I know and what do I not know? What am I really good at and what am I just starting out at? And I can't help thinking that if I'd made that realization earlier, I would have been a lot further ahead. So, for example, let me give you some examples in investing. And I'm getting better at leaning into what I'm really good at and mitigating or avoiding or delegating what I'm not very good at and being okay with that. In schools, we learn to work on our weaknesses, but actually you're far better playing to your strengths. One of my goals from about 10 years ago is to pay myself £122,000 a month. And I've never achieved it. I've never achieved that for a year. But I do think that's possible this year. Not nailed on. There's a lot of things I need to do. But I think if I lean into my strengths this year. That's possible. And so for me, things that I'm good at adding value to really competent team. So team that are brilliant at doing the basics well, I'm great at coming up with ideas that take those basics to the next level. So some examples of that. My podcast editor, Pete Allen from Carrot Crunchers, he is exceptional. He nails every episode. He makes sure the quality of my recording is not the same every time. Sometimes I'm sat in a car, sometimes I'm in a recording studio, sometimes I'm out and about, and he is exceptional at making it all sound really high quality. He's really good at that. But what he doesn't do is the strategy. He doesn't do what adverts we're going to run, what we're going to promote, what the mini series are going to be, what the topics of the episodes are, etc., etc. That's on me. And so I know that I have to record at least one episode a week. I often batch them. I'll do 4 or 5 in a week, then have a bit of a rest. We're probably 3 months ahead at all times, roughly speaking. And I know that I have to come up with the strategies for the content. That's something I'm strong at. I know I'm strong at presenting. I can present, to use that example, a 3-day event with very little forethought, very little planning, and I'm in flow. We'll typically have a meeting at 8 a.m., present 9:30 to 5:30, and then network with delegates afterwards. So it's often a 12-hour day, 3 in a row, and I've got just as much energy at the end of the 3 days as I had at the start. That's a good sign that I'm in flow, that I'm unconsciously competent, that I'm tying my shoelaces whilst chatting to someone, that I'm not needing to think about what I'm doing. And if you're in flow, if you're in your sweet spot of what you're really good at, that's where you give the most value to those around you. That's where you deliver the most value. I know that I'm not good at managing poor performing teams. So a good example of this is letting agents. If my letting agents are not on the ball, if they're not doing the basics brilliantly, I'm not good at staying on their case, pestering them. You know, if they're not sorting out maintenance, if they're not advertising a property the same day that we get notice, that's not my skill set. And so I know that either I need to employ someone to do that, or I need to get a better letting agent. And I've spent ages in the past trying to manage poor letting agents, but it just saps me. It drains my energy. It's low value and I'm not very good at it. And I often say to my clients, I say, look, you can't save yourself to wealth. You can't save your way to wealth. It's just, you know, your income stream isn't big enough to just make savings that are going to compound into permanent wealth. And so, of course, there's a place for saving. And of course, that helps to build the pot of available cash to invest. But it's not the primary route. The primary route is earning far more money than you need so that you can invest it. And so in your property investing, what I would encourage you to do is work out your plan for how you're going to invest in property. So what marketing are you going to do? What's the call to action going to be? How are you going to respond to that call to action? What will the sales process be to buy that property? And which parts are you going to do, and which parts are you going to have team members do?
You're listening to the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast with Frank Fleck. If you enjoy this content, why not follow Frank's TikTok, where you'll get loads of bite-sized investing tips. Just search TikTok for Frank Fleck. That's Frank, FLEGG.
For example, I have a conveyancing firm at the moment who are just not cutting the mustard. They don't respond the same day. They take too long. They don't do a great job. I have realized that I'm not good at chasing. If anything, as a client, I need a team that are going to chase me. And so it's a lose-lose to have that conveyancing firm representing me, because all the deals take too long. I lost a deal last month, lost a no money down deal just because they took too long, and they don't really care because their fees are so small and they've got so many cases. I care. That was a no money down deal. That property would have made me probably 200 grand in the next 10 years. And I think when I look at property investors, especially people getting into property investment, or people that have just been repeating the same year, actually, so people who have had a successful year or reasonably successful and they just keep repeating it, the issue with that I find is they never get into flow. They never actually consciously think about, and this is what I'd encourage you to do, I'd encourage you to consciously think about, of the 25,000 different combinations of strategies, so 62 different investment strategies, when you combine them, there's 25,000 options for combining them. Not all of them work, not all of them are possible, not all of them make sense, but there are a lot to choose from. Of all those different combinations of strategies, which ones suit you best? Which are going to interest you? Which you're going to be best at? Because it won't be all of them. It's not all of them for me. And once you've chosen that, once you've decided, right, these are the strategies that I'm going to pursue. I'm going to do this direct to vendor marketing, or I'm going to do this strategic alliance, or whatever the strategy you've chosen, you then can recruit team that will support you in that strategy. And by doing that, you're far more likely to be in flow. You're far more likely to enjoy what you're doing, to do it well. And if you do that, then you're going to be bringing more value to people. And if you bring loads of value to people, then you get paid more. And it really is as simple as that. And in looking to achieve my goal, my personal income goal this year, that's what I'm laser focused on. I'm not focused on the number of deals. I'm not focused on external stuff. I'm focused on how can I positively impact the most people. And with that will come everything else. So yes, I do have a goal of buying, in inverted commas, controlling permanently is probably a better description, 100 properties this year. I've never done that in 1 year, but I'm committed to doing that. We've raised £325,000 of the... We reckon we'll need 650,000 to buy 100 properties this year. So we've raised 325 and we're ready to go. Myself and my JV partner. Got our marketing strategies ready. We've employed a member of team. We're good to go. So it's not that I'm not focusing on deals. I absolutely am. But I'm doing them in a way that suits me. It suits me to train other people to do the negotiating on the simple deals. I expect at least 80 of those deals to be control now, pay later. And so coming back to the competency consciousness matrix, where are you unaware of your weaknesses? And you might think to yourself, well, I don't know because I don't know. But just think about it. Have you done loads of marketing? So let's assume you want to do some sophisticated deals this year where, you know, if you work that out, that's £6,500 per permanently controlled property. Pretty good going, right? Over the next decade, that each of those £6,500 will work really hard for me. And so let's assume you want to do some sophisticated deals in the next 12 months. You will be able to, with quite a high degree of accuracy, identify whether you're in quadrant 1, 2, 3, or 4 for each of the steps of the process. And if you're a regular listener, you know the steps of the vendor sales process. So the first step is awareness, right? There are so many vendors out there who need to sell their properties but can't on the open market. And so what they need is they need support, they need to know that you exist so that you can help them. And so marketing, raising awareness that you can help motivated vendors, is the first thing. Now, if you've done that loads of times and you've had hundreds of vendors contact you in the past asking you for help, you're not going to be incompetent at marketing. You might have to really think about it. You might have to read a few books. You might have to get a mentor, but you're going to be in the competent half of the matrix. So you're going to be in that top half of the big square. If, however, you've never done that, if you've never had 5, 10, 15 leads a week coming in to your business from motivated vendors or vendors who may be motivated, then you're probably not competent. You're probably, that's probably an area where you have to upskill. And that's fine. It's not rocket science. It's quite simple. Most of my clients go from incompetent marketeers for sophisticated property deals to competent in 3 to 4 weeks. So it really doesn't take long. You just need a system and you need to know how to run that system. Very simple. The next step, if you like, or the next phase of sophisticated property investing is the sales process. So have you done consistently sophisticated completions? If consistently you've done 10 to 20 purchases below market value, 20-30% below market value, or control now pay later from 20 to 30 vendors, if you've done that and you've got a system for it, you're in the competency half of the matrix, no doubt about it. If you've never done a sophisticated purchase, you've never actually completed on one, or you've completed on a few, there's no system in place, they've perhaps fallen in your lap, or you've managed to get them over the line, but in an inconsistent manner, then you're probably not competent in that area. You probably need to upskill yourself, learn, etc. And then you've got management of the properties. How good are you at managing them? How many do you manage now? I deal in management experience in management months. And so if you've got one property and you've owned it and let it out for 1 year, you've got 12 management months under your belt. If you then have two properties and you manage them for 10 years, you've got 240 management months under your belt. And so I think to properly understand lettings and understand what needs to happen and what doesn't, probably need 10 properties for 2 years. I think you'd come across most things then, maybe 3 years. So that would be 360 management months. And it doesn't really matter how you build them up, but I think below 150, you just don't have enough experience. Above 300, you're probably competent and you know what you're doing. And so it's just useful to know that. It doesn't mean you don't do it. It means you recognize that there are going to be weaknesses in your knowledge. You recognize that you're going to be making mistakes, most likely. And so you perhaps put steps in place to protect yourself and maximize your profits and minimize your losses from the mistakes that you make. And that's what I'm finding myself doing more and more. As I make commercial decisions, as I decide how to structure my businesses, how to manage my portfolios, how to buy more properties, how to monetize my skill set, I'm forever coming back to this matrix and thinking, right, so where do I sit on this? Where have I already got to quadrant 3 and quadrant 4 and can leverage that experience? It's painful and time consuming to go from quadrant 1 to quadrant 4. And so you want to minimize how many times you do that in order to be successful. There's no problem with doing that, and you will do that in many, many areas, but it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of headspace. So if you are keen to ramp up your cash flow swiftly, don't pick something that requires you to go around that 4 stages of the matrix in several different areas. Pick something where you're already in quadrant 4 and you can just leverage that, because you've already put the hard work in. You've already developed the skills to do that in your sleep. And often this will come back to our money thermometer and the background and values that have been instilled in us from our parents regarding finances and money. And one of the strongest values that I see people carrying around with them is that you have to work hard to earn money. Now, if you have got a really easily monetized quadrant 4 skill, the difficulty that you might have is that it'll be too easy to make loads of money. And when you hear that, your conscious mind might go, too easy. Well, no, if I can earn money easily, that'd be amazing. Of course, I wouldn't stop myself doing that. But your subconscious mind, if it has been conditioned over decades that you have to work hard to earn money, it won't let you earn money easily. It will insist and force you to work hard. So it will get you starting new stuff. The number of people I see who, we call it magpie syndrome. They go from one shiny object to another, you know. Oh, this is a great strategy. Let me go do a course on this and let me scratch the surface of this new strategy. The next month there's another course, and so they do another course and they scratch the surface of that one. The problem is they're never actually getting to the competent part. They're just finding out everything they don't know about a specific area of their business. And there you have it, ladies and gents. Quite a deep episode, that one, on picking the best route for you. Not the best route that you've heard on YouTube or listened to on a podcast or seen on a one-day course or a three-day course. It's really, really important to pick the best strategies for you. There are so many strategies out there, and the vast majority are excellent, but you can't do all of them, and they won't all be excellent for you. So it's about picking the best ones for you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, ladies and gents. Until next time, happy investing.
Sophisticated Property Investing. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing now.